much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm about to seduce them with some sweet ass tunage.
Whoa, wait. Your music or my music?
What do you mean, my music?
Jamiroquai? Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
Those are good bands.
Train?
That's ironic.
Is it?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
How have you thought? What are your thoughts on how it has gone so far?
Butchered English alert, butchered English alert, butchered English alert, butchered English alert.
Oh my god. He's gonna be so embarrassed. I mean, that's a crazy accident.
McRib is back! Bathroom things are gonna happen.
And now.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 531. Brand new show.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
They're good.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Well, Lisa just said the most unbelievable thing to me, which is that, did I hear you correctly, Lisa, that you don't think you're going to go see the new Batman movie? You don't like this Batman franchise? It's too dark for you?
Dark
Knight is too dark?
Based on how I felt about the last one. It doesn't seem like it's for me.
Die.
I didn't like the
last
one.
Is that realistic? Is that okay? Is that an all right response?
Listen, I know I'm the only one on Earth.
Wait, the last one, the one with Heath Ledger as the Joker, you didn't like that movie?
I loved Heath Ledger. I thought Two-Face was too much. Like, there should only be one villain.
So I agree. Two-Face was irrelevant, made the movie too long for no reason. I totally agree with you on that.
There were several times where I thought the movie was going to end, and it didn't. It kept going and going and going. And
it could have been a little shorter, okay.
At the end of the day, I just wasn't. Oh. I mean, I loved Heath Ledger, and that was about it. And they are really, really dark, which I know people love, but I don't. I feel like I can't see what's going on.
I love it so much.
Oh, you mean they're literally dark.
They're literally
the screen
dark
is dark.
As well.
What?
As dark. They are. There's so much in the dark.
You know, one of the reasons...
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
One of the reasons, and we haven't really talked about this, but one of the reasons the new Batman film that opens at midnight tonight is not in 3D, which is kind of shocking these days because all the big movies, especially this kind of movie, are in 3D.
I just took for granted I was going to go see a 3D version of it.
Christopher Nolan hates 3D.
No kidding.
Says part of the reason is it makes the screen too dark. He says the 3D movies are 20% darker than regular movies, and he just doesn't like it. I guess his movie's already dark enough. If you made it 20% darker, you wouldn't be able to see anybody moving on the screen.
It'd be nothing. It'd be dark, black.
I think that's true.
It'd be a black screen. He said he's so funny about this, and of course he's one of the very few people who can say to the studio, no, I'm not going to make it in 3D.
Right.
He said that he doesn't know anybody who actually likes 3D. He thinks it's one of these things that the only reason it exists is because the movie studios can make more money by charging more money for 3D films. That's the only reason this format exists.
But why would people go if they didn't like it? Why would they pay more?
I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
I'd rather go see a 3D
sometimes
than
I like it.
Than not. But some of them are also gimmicks. You can tell they use it very little. So basically they're just trying to get your money.
Right.
But some of them are really worth it.
Well, I wanted to ask because, you know, we talked briefly at the end of the show yesterday about this this brouhaha over at RottenTomatoes.com, which is a website where they aggregate movie reviews. And now it's gotten to the point where there are death threats against the critics who have given this movie a poor review.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Death threats online because, I don't know, maybe Batman fans want to see it stay at 100. You know, maybe they just want to see a perfect review for this film. So hoping that death threats are a real thing. I'm going to ask Beer Mug to talk about the movie because he saw it last night. So let's hope that this is going to translate into someone taking him out.
Well, first of all, how dare you? Second of all, not like anybody cares about my opinion. If you have 1 ounce of emotion or soul in you, you'll absolutely love this movie.
So I'm soulless?
Yes. If you don't like this movie, you are soulless and you shouldn't be on Earth.
Oh, wow. Now I'm getting a death threat.
But
yes,
that's not how
it was supposed to work.
No, Bean, I thought you were going to say he hated it, and then everyone would
didn't, though. He loved it. Although it is, how long is it?
It's 2 hours and 45 minutes, and that's what I was a little weary about going in. But 10 minutes into the movie, you're not keeping track of the time.
Yeah, I don't care. I can't
wait.
It's
awesome.
I may leave now.
I think you have to leave now.
I can't wait.
How's Bane as a villain?
Bane,
without any spoilers, please.
Bane looks like Joker look like Mother Teresa. He's
that much more of a badass character?
Insane.
Really?
Wow. Insane.
And Mitt Romney, what was that tie-in?
Yeah, Mitt Romney, he
was behind him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bane is telling everybody not to vote for Mitt Romney in the film. That's I heard on Rush Limbaugh's show, right? So.
All right. I'm sure it's going to do very well.
Oh, yeah.
There's
no question it's a hit.
They don't need you, but that also calls into question your opinion on everything. You know what I mean?
I'm surprised.
Like, Lisa makes a good point, and we go, yeah, but you didn't go see Batman.
I'm surprised, Lisa, only because even though you make legitimate points, what's left, even after you take away your criticisms of it being too long, too dark, and having too much Two-Face, the rest of it is still so great that it's still worth seeing, I bet. That even the last one, I'm sure that's the case for this one. Whatever you don't like about it, the rest of it's going to be great, too. Christopher Nolan is a genius filmmaker. Christian Bale is a genius actor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anne Hathaway is hot.
Are they subtitled? Because
No, you can understand them, though.
You can. Okay. All right. Yeah.
And sometimes something is just not for you.
I agree, but this isn't one of those things.
Okay, well, thank you for making that judgment for me.
I'm telling you, this is not. This is one
apparently
of
you're not allowed to not go.
Right. Kevin, if I go and I don't like it, I want my money back from you.
All right, I'll give you your money back.
Okay. I'll give you your money back,
then I will go.
But not for your food.
that's the big bill.
Just for the movie. I know,
that's
why. All
right, Bugs, you do the food.
Okay, I'll pay for your food.
Awesome.
So now you can't miss. It's a free movie for you, Lisa.
Okay.
It's only 8 hours of your time that you give up to see it.
Exactly.
It's worth it. Crazy woman. Okay. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I am so not in the mood.
We have Dr. Drew on the show today.
Yeah.
We're excited about that.
Love Dr. Drew. I'm very excited to talk to him today because the big news has been announced twice in the last month. The FDA has approved new diet pills that they think are making a difference, that they think are significant. They think this is new in the war on weight. And Dr. Drew will separate the wheat from the chaff on that and let us know whether we have any reason to be excited or not.
We do need some kind of pill that you can take, and then you can eat anything you want. That's what we need.
Yep, that's the goal.
Yeah. We have a brand new Internet Roundup, Batman edition. All of them related to Batman, Lisa.
Oh, excellent. I'm so excited.
Since you're going. people who are pen pals with prisoners. This is an odd topic. We've done it before, and we've got a lot of phone calls from people who continue to write prisoners that in many cases they never met before.
I'm curious if they do it because they think they're innocent. Like the Menendez brothers had a lot of women writing them.
Look, most of the monsters in our society get mail from women.
Yeah.
They're proven that they were monsters. Jeffrey Dahmer and people like that, they get mail.
A lot of it has to be the attraction that people have to celebrity. A lot of it has to just be that person's famous. I've seen him on the news a lot. I get to be friends with a famous person. I really do.
And he's trapped. He can't go anywhere.
But is there nothing else going on in your life? You know what I mean? Like, don't you have real friends and don't you go out and do stuff? And who's got time to sit down and write to a prisoner?
Who has time to sit down and write?
Right. That's my point.
Nobody does that anymore.
That's really bizarre. And I was watching Lockdown. Mm-hmm. Lock Up. Is it up or down? I forget which way they lock.
I thought it was up.
They lock up. Lockdown. I don't know. On MSNBC, they have those 24-hour marathons. And sometimes I get stuck in them and just watch them all day. There's a wedding, wedding in the prison, and the woman met him when he was in prison. So it's not like they were in love before, and he did something and got sent to prison. She met him through being a pen pal, or a peen pal.
Well, that's what happens after the wedding.
Right. So.
And then they get conjugal visits?
Yes.
That does not seem like prison.
It doesn't. I agree. But
why is the guy in prison getting more sex than I am? That's the question.
I don't know how it works. Like, I'm sure there are some crimes and there are some jails that don't allow it. But maybe the medium security does or something. But they'll give them 48 hours or something.
That's
in like a little bungalow.
Crazy.
And then, she walks out hurt. So that's weird. So we're going to talk about that today. We have tickets for UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. UFC 4 at Staples coming to town. We have Lee Rittenberg, and this is a guy from the Traffic Defenders.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk to these guys all the time, and they give us the advice on what to do when you get pulled over. What do? Do you give them your license? Do you take the breathalyzer test? Or if you were speeding, do you tell them how fast you were going and how can you get out of the ticket? And he always gives us great advice, and I always forget it. I get pulled over, and then I go, what'd that guy say? I can't remember.
So this is our refresher.
Yes.
All you need to know, Kevin, is when you get pulled over, you show cleavage. That's how you get out of a ticket. We've established that.
I don't have that option, unfortunately. Oh. I'd like to, but I don't. Actually, I wouldn't like to be honest. The feud between Rob Pattinson and Andrew Garfield is on.
Oh, those two.
They are beefing like you've never seen. It may be over for both of them. And we're going to talk to Mary McNamara just after the top of the hour, just after 6, because the Emmy nominations are coming out today.
Oh, yeah. Some great shows.
About a minute, they start unveiling names. So we'll have the very latest for you in a few.
That's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Nominations for the 64th Primetime Emmy Awards just announced moments ago. We're going to have a complete recap for you coming up right after the top of the hour. We talked to an LA Times correspondent about that. By the way, Jimmy Kimmel not only making the announcements this morning along with actress Kerry Washington, but he shows up in his pajamas. God bless Jimmy. And he was also nominated for an Emmy, too. His show, sure, Jimmy yeah. Kimmel Live, also got a nomination today. So we're very excited for him.
Here's what I like about Jimmy, though, is he shows up in his pajamas and then also hasn't done anything with his hair. He just looks a complete mess.
Right.
Love it.
He's the best.
You want the first line from his announcement?
Of course.
This is Jimmy Kimmel.
They rousted me out of bed in the middle of the night last night.
Clearly.
So. This could be just as good at noon. Really.
Jimmy, who are you wearing?
This is from the Husky Baby Collection. Thank you for asking. Would you like to begin, ladies first?
I shall.
Okay.
There you go. So that's how it started.
Nick Offerman, who, of course, is the great Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec, was the one who was supposed to be making the announcement this morning, but somehow he got stuck in New York.
Something happened. No kidding.
So Jimmy, they asked Jimmy to do it since he is the host of the Emmys this year. They thought it might be a good choice. So September 23rd, Nokia Theater, LA Live. With Jimmy hosting, we'll talk about it coming up after the top of the hour. Did you hear about the Hollywood arrest last night? Do I get to break some news for you guys?
Wait, yes. Hollywood got arrested?
Nope.
No.
Fred Willard.
What?
Who's only one of our favorites and only one of the greatest comic actors of all time. Of course, from...
For what?
From Anchorman, from everything. What would be your first choice of what you would hope he would be arrested for, Kevin?
What I would hope?
For comedy's sake, what would be the best possible arrest?
Comedy's sake. Well, it can't be drinking and driving.
No, that would
be
funny.
Come on. He got in a fight?
Come on.
He got in a
fight?
Even
better.
Better than getting in a fight.
I'm going to say these words to you. Pee Wee Herman, 1991.
Yeah! Oh, no.
Seriously?
LAPD undercover vice officers went into the Tiki Theater in Hollywood. Who knew that such a place existed where people go, pay money, sit down, walk into a movie theater to watch porn in 2012?
Oh, no.
But they found him with his pants down, his little Willard exposed and in his hand. At 8:45 last night, he was arrested and booked for lewd conduct.
That's a lot of masturbation.
Yes, it is, Doc. Thank you.
Leave the man alone.
Right?
Yeah.
Let a man sample himself.
Was anyone complaining?
Who's he hurt?
No.
First of all, he's Hollywood legend Fred Willard. Do I have to say Best in Show? Do I have to say For Your Consideration, Anchorman, American Wedding? He's Fred Willard.
Okay, but...
First of all.
What's he...
Second of all, what's the downside?
Kids can't be in.
No.
It's illegal, but...
Everybody knows what's happening when they go into those theaters.
But I have another question for you. What's Fred Willard doing?
His DVD broke.
Okay, but
it's called the internet, Lisa.
He's old.
He understands how things work, especially with the press. What's he doing?
There's no reason to ever watch porn, even on a DVD in 2012, much less in a movie theater. It's called the internet, Fred. Look it up, Grandpa.
Oh, no. That's awesome bad.
By the way, Fred is 78 years old. Did you guys know that?
No, I didn't.
Wow, after 75, just let him go.
If I'm 78 and I still am with it enough to want to masturbate in public, then give me a medal or something because that's impressive.
I'm not sure you deserve a medal, but...
I'm just saying.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Where's the downside? You tell me where the downside is.
Exactly. Thank you.
Where's the outrage there?
Who's complaining? Who gets hurt by this? No one. Except now Fred Willard, because he got arrested and he's going to be dragged through the mud by people who aren't as sympathetic to him as we are.
Oh, that hurts.
Makes me sad.
That really hurts.
But delighted, right, Lisa?
Yeah, in a way. I'm tickled.
When I said to you, what's the best possible arrest, you weren't even going to think of that because it's so awesome.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And it just doesn't happen often enough.
Well, yeah, but it's Fred Willard.
Because people do it at home
Come on. Let Fred go.
I love it. I agree. Let's start a free Fred Willard campaign.
Let Fred get a handful. Come on. Good news. Marilyn Manson wants to have a baby.
Oh, thank God.
He tells the Observer that he's starting to think about the pitter-patter of little feet, and he wants to pass his, quote, demented genius on to some small thing who can set fire and breathe profanity. So that would be good.
Okay.
Who better than Marilyn Manson?
Who better?
To have a baby.
Who better, indeed.
That's an outstanding choice.
Fred Willard is the only one that comes to mind.
The Pirelli calendar is something that we mention every year. You guys know what this is. This is a high fashion, very exclusive calendar. They don't sell it. They make it available to clients of, what is Pirelli? It's a...
Tires,
they
make, right?
I think it's a car.
Tires. Yeah, they make tires. Car, it's a high-end tire, a European company. And these, I mean, every supermodel you've ever heard of has been in the Pirelli calendar, most of them nude. I mean, they are prized by collectors. You can buy them on eBay. They're unbelievable. They don't release these pictures anywhere else. Well, they had a little bit of a makeover this year.
Okay.
For instance, Adriana Lima, pregnant in the Pirelli calendar photo this year.
Really?
Completely unacceptable. They also have decided that most of the models in this year's catalog will be wearing clothes.
Isn't that why you get it?
In bathing suits before?
Well, they were in skimpy outfits of some kind.
Mostly naked,
sexy.
Lisa.
Yeah,
mostly naked.
Yeah, most of them were naked. I mean, most in some cases, full frontal nudity. I mean, huge supermodels who would go because of the artisticness and the tradition and the history of this Pirelli calendar. I'm just going to show it all because I know it's going to be a classy photo. It's going to be a work of art. So they would just bear it all. Now they're going with clothes.
Has a woman taken over Pirelli?
Good question.
Not that it says here.
Something changed.
It is, as I mentioned, Adriana Lima, that's the type of model that they get for this thing. And a lot of other models whose names I don't know, who apparently are very famous, like Isabelle Fontana and Elisa Sandau, are also going to be on the calendar this year, but in clothes.
Well,
I'm just saying, if you have the opportunity to have supermodels naked, have supermodels naked. That's
all. That's the wrong direction.
And then send a calendar to Fred Willard.
Saves Stallone. The details are still coming out on his death. And it's not what anybody wants to hear. New York Post page 6 says that over 50 empty bottles of hydrocodone and packets of white powder were found all over the actor's house.
Damn.
Wow.
If full, the containers could have held up to 30,000 pills.
You're in a bad way if you finish off a bottle of Oxy and then just leave the bottle there. You're not even throwing stuff. You're not even picking up the house and throwing away your empty pill bottles. You know you're in a bad way.
Over 50 bottles.
Yeah, I wonder how he financed all this.
Maybe he got money from his dad. I don't know. Yeah. But that's not exactly what you want to
hear. Wow.
And overkill much? For God's sakes.
Yeah. That's amazing. If
they were full, could have held up to 30,000 pills.
You all
that would take 48 hours to take.
Accidental doesn't seem as accidental at that point, does
it? No. But, you know, the final results aren't in. Everybody's just guessing. But this is true that they found the pill bottles. So
amazing.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Campbell Scott, who's always great. He, of course, was most recently seen in the new Spider-Man movie. He played the original father of Spider-Man in the Amazing Spider-Man movie. Campbell Scott, we're talking about the actor, celebrating his birthday today. He's 51 years old today. Anthony Edwards from ER is 50. Brian May, guitarist for Queen, turns 65 today. Hold on. I lost my sheet here. Jared Pilecki from Supernatural and the Gilmore Girls turns 30 today. And John Bones Jones, who was just on the Kevin Bean Show recently, UFC light heavyweight champion of the world, turns 25. And that is your showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Later on today's Kevin and Bean Show, we got more tickets for you to see the Los Angeles Galaxy taking on Chivas USA at the Home Depot Center on Saturday, plus tickets for UFC on Fox 4 Live at Staples Center. So we are hooking you up. Big day in Hollywood. Emmy nominations just announced for the 64th Annual Emmy Awards happening in September with our friend Jimmy Kimmel as the host. Jimmy Kimmel and actress Kerry Washington making the announcement moments ago. We wanted to get a complete recap. We went to our friends at the Los Angeles Times. Mary McNamara joins us. She is a TV critic there and the senior culture editor. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
I want a title like senior culture editor.
Right? Sweet, right?
That's awesome. I
really like the combination with TV critic.
Sure.
It just really says it all. Like, yep. That's what the culture is.
I actually watched the Emmy nomination streaming through LATimes.com, so thank you very much for putting that up there today.
You are very welcome. I did the same.
17 is that the most? 17 for Mad Men, 17 for American Horror Story. Is that the big news?
That's the well. Those are that's a lot. I mean, I don't know. Is it the most for Mad Men? It may be that number for American Horror Story. Sure, surprised me. But then they were in the miniseries category as opposed to the series category, which is always interesting since they are technically a series.
Yeah, that's the part that I am always confused by, these miniseries, some of which I've never heard.
I don't know how exactly they get away with it. Downton Abbey pulled it, for their first season, and they said, well, when we made it, we didn't know it was going to be a series, so we planned it as a miniseries, and I guess that's what they're saying with American Horror Story. That kind of came as a surprise for me because I always thought they sort of had planned that it would be a series.
Yeah,
right, exactly, yeah. Let me ask you this, Mary. Year after year, and this year is no exception, it seems like a lot of the prestige awards go to cable shows.
Do they
care at the networks? Are there people at networks today going, hey, drama series nominations, none of them are on broadcast television, we're doing a bad job? Or do they just go, hey, we're out of that business because those shows are too expensive to make or not right for our network or whatever it is? What do you think the thinking is on a day like today?
I think it's very frustrating because I disagree that it's a shoe-in that the cable series are necessarily always better than the drama, or I mean, than the network series, because I think there are perfectly good drama series on the networks. The Good Wife should have been included in the best drama. I mean, and I believe it was last year. You know, it's just there does seem to be like a criteria, you know, the seriousness or the grittiness of the subject that you can get away with on the premium channels that you can't on the network.
Southland could have been nominated as well, right?
Southland, yeah, has a lot of that has a lot of supporters, and so I think it is, and it's very unfair because in one way it's comparing apples and oranges. I feel this way too with the acting categories, where you have actors who, you know, bless their hearts, they're doing fabulous jobs for 12 episodes as opposed to carrying 23 episodes, you know. And, I mean, that's a very different kind of thing to have to do, be believable and wonderful and for 23 episodes. And I have written about, like, well, maybe we need to somehow separate these, you know, but I don't think we have quite enough shows to, like, have separate categories.
Well, let's talk about best drama just for a second. I just want to mention Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, Mad Men, Homeland, Game of Thrones. Having said all that about the networks, these are all great shows.
They are all great shows, absolutely. I would have added Walking Dead in there.
As would I have.
Someday.
That's interesting. That you know,
will come down.
This is why I'm glad we had you on, because you're right. You bring up Walking Dead, Kevin. You brought up Southland. I mean, these are names we did not hear called today, but they're certainly great television. In the comedy category, we got Curb Your Enthusiasm, Girls, 30 Rock, Veep, Modern Family, and Big Bang Theory. I mean, for Girls and Veep to both get nominated right after their first seasons have concluded, they've just got to be over the moon over there at HBO, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was very sad that Enlightened wasn't. That was my favorite comedy on HBO.
I've never heard of that.
That's the Laura Dern one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it's fabulous. And it didn't get any nominations I didn't get all the way down. I don't think it got writing. But anyway, I mean, so yeah, they had, you know, they had three big ones. They got three on there, did they? HBO got three companies.
Yeah. I think HBO.
I mean, again, it's like in Parks and Rec is not on there, which makes me super sad, you know, because I think that that's a great show. I mean, finally, I mean, it, you know, it. I think it was on there last year and it sort of gets knocked off.
I think what happens is HBO just demands what they want and then they just fill it in with other stuff.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, you know, some people thought that Luck would get some sort of, you know, whether it was, you know, Dustin Hoffman getting nominated or some of the other actors or maybe a writing, you know, but it didn't get anything. So, I mean, I don't think that, that the HBO controls it. I think, though, there is like this mindset that these are somehow higher elevated shows,
right,
which is not necessarily true.
Well, because it's not television, it's HBO, Mary. That's why. Best actor.
Someone who loves HBO, and I love all these shows. So. Yeah.
Best actor in a drama: Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire, Michael C. Hall for Dexter, Bryan Cranston Breaking Bad. It seems like he wins every year. Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey, yep. John Hamm Mad Men, and Damian Lewis Homeland.
I would love to see Damian Lewis from Homeland win.
Boy, he was phenomenal. Yeah. He was phenomenal.
You know, Homeland was just—I mean, that was just a terrific show, and could easily sweep its categories. It just was just great.
Anyone sad that's not on that list that you miss?
I'm surprised that Kelsey Grammer is not on that list. I'm surprised that Hugh Laurie is not on that list. Bless his heart,
yeah.
He never got an Emmy.
Yeah, oh, wow.
That's show, that, like, transformative show, that transformative character. This was his last chance. He never got an Emmy, and that is just a crying shame.
That is really, really interesting, because it's not uncommon for the Emmys to hand out an Emmy to somebody in their last season just as kind of a thanks for playing, right?
Exactly. Well, not even thanks for playing, but that was a very important show.
Agreed.
I mean, that broken anti-hero, that, you know, that house character has... I mean, there are just 70 million copycats of it on the air right now on the networks, and, you know, that it never did. So
right.
Too bad.
We're talking to Mary McNamara from the Los Angeles Times about this morning's Emmy nominations that came out just a few minutes ago. We're not going to have time to hit them all, but let me ask you about another category and your thoughts on the best actress for a comedy. Zooey Deschanel for The New Girl, Lena Dunham for Girls, who just has become a force of nature out of the box.
She's a force of nature, bless her heart, yes.
Edie Falco, who is incredible week after week on Nurse Jackie. Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, both nominated again this year for Parks and Rec and 30 Rock. Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep and Melissa McCarthy for Mike and Molly. What do you think of that category?
I mean, you know, again, it's like I think they all belong in there. I think that this category should have been twice as big as it is, you know, but there's nothing you can do. I would have put Laura Dern in there. I would have put Kat Dennings in there. You know, there are just, Martha Plimpton isn't in there. She should have been in there. What the problem is for the poor, you know, Television Academy, it's just there are so many great shows. And the categories are limited. You know, it's like, what are you going
to
do?
It's a nice problem to have.
There's nobody that's nominated who shouldn't have been nominated. It's just a question of what about the other ones who should have been nominated?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to handicap this race when we're watching in September. That's for sure. You know, there was a time a few years ago where people were complaining there weren't enough good roles for women on television. But right now, it seems like we're in some sort of a golden age.
It is. Yeah. Well, it was the year of the girl, as we kept being told, the year of the woman, and that definitely is reflected in just how jam packed both the drama and the comedy categories, but particularly in the comedy. I mean, usually, you know, they're like, or in past years, they've been sort of like scraping around trying to fill it, and now it's just filled two sets of it.
All right, Mary, very last question for you because we are out of time. Betty White gets nominated as host for reality series. Is it because she's great on that show, or is it because America wants to just continue to shower her with praise before she dies?
Betty White.
Come on.
Betty White has become like an American icon. She is an American icon. And I also just think it's fabulous because, you know, the reality categories are possibly the most monotonous of the categories just because, I mean, there just aren't that many, you know, hosts and, you know.
It's always Bergeron. It's always Kogan. It's always Ryan Seacrest, right?
Yay that Betty White is in there. But, I mean, it's also just like, it's just kind of refreshing.
Waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
How dare you, Kevin? How dare you? Mary McNamara is the LA Times TV critic and senior culture editor. You can follow her, of course, at latimes.com and on Twitter at Mary Mac TV. Thanks so much for jumping on with us today.
Sure, my pleasure.
Dr. Drew on the program today. Also, we're going to be taking your calls if you have ever corresponded with a person in prison. Talking prison pen pals on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, in honor of The Dark Knight Rising, showing in theaters everywhere tonight. And by the way, some people are going to see a marathon. They're doing in some theaters. They're playing all three of the Christopher Nolan Batman movies back to back.
That's a lot of Batman, but I think I would like that.
That would be fun,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
We have a special all Batman edition of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
He sure does shoot a gun in the air. Go to KevinandBean.com, KRock.com. You can see all of these videos. There are a bunch of them. One, the first one that we want to feature is Breaking Batman. And this is where somebody has taken the audio from Breaking Bad, which is such a great show, and the video from Batman Rises, and they put
Who
them together.
Who has the time to do these things?
I don't know.
And what makes them think of that?
I don't know. But what you're listening to now, because it's radio, is Breaking Bad, but the actual visual is Batman Rises.
I told you not to cook my formula. You went ahead and did it anyway.
Because I never said I want to cook it, because it ain't yours, it's ours. Plural, bitch.
So you got that. And that's
it is
really
so
well
funny
done.
To hear all of the contemporary dialogue out of Breaking Bad coming out of, you know, Robin from the Batman movie's mouth. It's very well done.
Here's one called Honest Trailers, where they actually take apart the movie and they go, this looks stupid because.
And the Bat device that inexplicably turns every Gotham City cell phone into a portable sonar reader, which downloads an infinite amount of data that's instantly transmitted wirelessly to Batman's eyes. How is that possible? It takes me 5 minutes to download Angry Birds.
So they're trying to make it a little more realistic. That's funny.
Uh-huh.
The Dark Knight smells. You know, I was watching this and I was thinking, where did this song ever come from? Batman smells. Remember
oh,
that?
Oh, I remember it's that when I was a kid.
Yeah, you sing Jingle Bells, and then somebody changed the words from Jingle Bells to Batman smells, and I guess somebody's made a trailer out of it.
Yeah, they put real Batman video with the song. Jingle Bells,
I have a gland problem.
Here's Christopher Nolan, who is, of course, the writer and director, abuses The Dark Knight Rises. He's pitching people at the movie company pretty much every idea he's ever had, and he's throwing it all together.
Chris!
We haven't seen you since we handed over that truckload of cash.
Meet my blushing bride.
Chris, that's a cat.
Shut up! Nobody talks to Chris Nolan that way.
All right, let's screen it.
Hold on to your brains with your...
I'm not sure what that means or why. The Dark Knight with 60s Robin we have featured before. We wanted to put it back up there. 60s Robin is so just G-rated compared to the, whatever, is it PG-13 or R-rated Batman?
Somebody's got a mouthful of marbles. What's the matter, Bane? Bat got your tongue? You might be laughing now, you scoundrel. But wait until I unleash my flim-flam.
Your what?
These. Flim-flam.
It's super lame. Robin is so super lame. And I can say that because we're also on vacation. The Dark Knight Rises trailer. So it's the video from the Dark Knight Rises trailer, but the audio is Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, no. Really?
Why didn't you just kill me?
Your punishment must be more severe.
Yes, Mr. Wayne.
It does come in black. La, 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 la.
Very well done.
Great.
Again, who's got that kind of time? But people seem to. Here's the I'm Batman supercut. Every time it's been said on TV or in movies.
I'm Batman.
You sound like Cookie Monster.
I'm Batman. That's Batman.
I am the Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
I'm thirsty.
I'm hungry.
I'm Batman.
So that's funny. We're doing an all Batman Kevin Bean internet roundup. We've got Extremely Dark Knight. Here's where he's really, really getting into the questioning of his suspect, trying to find
this is my Bane. Favorite. This is my favorite. The best interrogation scene ever.
This is very good.
They're meeting tonight at a warehouse on 157th and Freeman Street.
What time?
8 o'clock.
P.M.
Yes, P.M.
What else do you know?
Oh, please, man. I got a family.
What kind of family?
What?
How many boys? How many girls?
One boy, two girls.
And a wife?
Yes, a wife.
What's her maiden name?
What?
Her maiden name! Tell me!
Punching him.
Stuart, no, will you please let me go?
How bad do you want me to let you go?
Pretty bad.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
10 being the highest?
No, 7 being the highest.
What? Why?
Kidding! I have an excellent sense of humor!
He's punching him through the whole thing.
That's awesome.
It's the best.
And then, of course, it wouldn't be complete without the pug. Oh, the Batman pug! The Batman pug. And this is the Batman pug. I don't know what the pug is actually saying, but it sure does sound like Batman.
It does.
He's saying Batman as far as I'm concerned.
So that's the Batman edition of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup at krock.com or kevinandbean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yes. Wow, is that annoying.
Love that dog so much. That's the Batman pug here on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KRQ. It is 6:42. By the way, we are still qualifying you to go to Lollapalooza in Chicago because, well, that's where it is. K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012, destination number 3. You go to Lollapalooza, you qualify by winning tickets to see the Black Keys at Staples Center on October the 6th. And then we do the grand prize drawing tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yesterday we had Adam Carolla on, and he did This Week in Rage, and he was on The Tonight Show. And he was on The Tonight Show with Kate Beckinsale. And unfortunately, when he told us the story, he said it was Jessica Biel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about her accent and everything. And we've never been corrected more. Am I right, Bean? We've never been corrected more on something in our lives than this particular thing.
No, we got hundreds of emails on this topic. And by the way, I'm not trying to throw Adam here under the bus. I mean, I blame myself. I believe I'm the first one who mentioned that it was Jessica Biel on the TV show that he appeared in. And in fact, it was Kate Beckinsale. And he just kind of went with it. And then he started referring to her as Jessica Biel. I don't think either of us were thinking that they're different people because they're both on promoting the same movie, the Total Recall movie. That was my confusion.
Meanwhile, everybody at home is screaming at the radio. But
yes.
Dear Kevin and Bean, how dare you mistake the amazingly beautiful Kate Beckinsale with the Dwight Howard shoulders having Jessica Biel? Apologize, okay. Damn it.
Did that Dave
must
write
be,
that?
That must
Dave,
be Dave.
Dave, Dave King of Mexico.
Why, how can Dave say that Jessica Biel is anything other than a stunning hot woman?
Because he's dumb.
You know Dave.
He's dumb. But I will say this in Dave's defense. She does have more muscular shoulders than most women.
Yeah, she's strong.
She's not at all not attractive to me because of that. But
right.
That's
she's,
all he could focus
buff.
On. So.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. Dear Kevin and Bean, here's a Comic-Con email. I have to share this story with you. First of all, I'm a longtime listener. I live down in San Diego. I was at Comic-Con this past weekend, and I saw Seth Green walking across the street leaving the convention center. Of course, Seth goes every year. We had him on our show live from San Diego on Friday. He had his head down, baseball cap on, was trying not to stand out, and I yelled out to everybody within earshot, "Hey, that's Seth Green!"
Oh, nice.
This little Asian guy behind me got all excited like I've never seen anyone get excited before. And then he, along with about 30 other people, swarmed in and crowded Seth. Aww. I just kept on going with a little smile. Don't get me wrong. I love him. I know it was a dick move, but I only did it because he was trying so hard not to be noticed. Manuel, how are you going to come at Seth
come
Green
on.
Like that? Come on. Dear Kevin and Bean, this one begins. Oh, well, we get a lot of these. I don't get it. How is Beer Mug still on the show? Every time I hear him laugh in the background or say, oh, my God, it just makes me want to vomit. Please do whatever it takes to get Psycho Mike or anybody back behind the controls. If it's about money, I'm sure the other listeners and I will gladly make up whatever difference there is between Mike or whoever's salary and whatever K-Rock is willing to pay. Down with Beer Mug Brian. I'm only going to read one. That's representative of about 1,000 very similar emails, but thanks for writing,
Come
Brian.
On. We were talking about cheating, and if you know somebody's cheating, do you interject yourself into that situation and perhaps tell one of them? The answer we came up with is no, do not.
Yeah.
That seems to be the consensus for most of our listeners, too, is just there's more damage to you coming for speaking up. You should just avoid the topic altogether.
Kevin and Bean, my ex told me he's cheated on every girl he's been with and eventually cheated on me, but I stayed with him for a couple of months after I found out. What do you think?
Happened so many times.
What do you think happened? We broke up, but we're still hooking up occasionally for a couple of months. Little did I know that somewhere down the line, he'd found a new girlfriend that was living with him. Now, all of a sudden, she's angry.
Are you serious?
When I found out about the newer relationship, I told the girl, I've never met her, but friends have and say she's quite a bit younger and too cool to be dating him. I would say that any woman, dog, fish, cat, speck, or dirt is too good to be dating him, says the girl who continued to date him after she found out he was cheating.
Wow, that's some drama right there.
So what happened? He probably made up a story about me being crazy. She told her. This girl told the new girlfriend that he's been cheating, and they blocked her on Facebook, and she's never been happier to have somebody out of her life.
So hilarious.
Maybe she should have done that a little sooner.
Yeah.
Back to
I'm
you.
Sorry. I thought you had two
did,
on the cheating topic.
Out of time, so.
Lisa, you had some support on your ridiculously misguided theory that the Batman movie may not be worth going to see. What's this all about?
I didn't like The Dark Knight, and I realize I am the only person on this earth that doesn't
literally the
for,
only person.
Except for some listeners who emailed me. I got, of course, thousands, but I'll just read one for you.
Yeah, thousands. We all say thousands.
Or two. This is from Michelle. Yay, I'm not the only one who didn't like it. I couldn't see much. Everyone's speech was all garbled. Heath Ledger was the only good part. Christian Bale's Batman monotone is so dragging. So glad I'm not alone. No, Michelle, you're not alone. Thank you for your support.
No, there's
but
two
you
of you.
Should be. You should
there's
be
three of us. I got another one.
Three of
there
you.
There is three of us.
All right, go ahead.
I'm not going to read the other one, okay. But...
Well, I have a response to that from Jeremy, who heard our discussion this morning. Don't forget, when Lisa May gives her opinion that she is a woman, she has a brain half the size of a man's, it's science. Please ignore her opinion on this film and everything. Yes, Jeremy.
Thank you
much for the call. Showbiz Beat coming up next here on the World Famous. What do you do if you get one of those red light traffic tickets? That's a question we have debated several times recently on the show. We're going to get an answer from the traffic defender himself. He's a guy who knows. Coming up next right after the top of the hour here on the World Famous Carrot. First, though, time for the showbiz feed. If you haven't heard yet, prepare to be amused. Fred Willard, Hollywood comedy legend, 78 years old, one of the stars of Anchorman, Best in Show, for your consideration. Just a great Great actor, great comedian, great improv guy. We've had him on the show many times.
Funny guy, nice, genuine. I don't know why you're so giddy with this.
Because it's hilarious when something like this
happens.
It's just hilarious. And I mean no ill will toward Fred Willard at all, because I adore him, and I hope that they let him go. I hope that there are no charges that are pressed. But he was arrested around 8:45 last night at an adult movie theater in Hollywood called the Tiki Theater. It's Pee Wee 91 all over again. Yes, his pants were down. Yes, aww, little Fred was in his hand. Aww. And yes, they apparently took him out in handcuffs, which is just...
so sad.
So sad.
A, you're being taken out in handcuffs. B, for that.
Yeah. That's rough.
Look.
Here's...
But
Willie Nelson gets a pass on weed because
correct,
he's Willie Nelson.
As does
okay,
Snoop. It should work that way.
And Snoop gets a pass on weed because he's Snoop. Fred Willard can masturbate if he wants to. He's Fred Willard. He's a comedy god. He's not hurting anybody. He wasn't doing it in the park. He wasn't doing it at your kid's school. He was doing it in a darkened adult movie theater with no one around him, presumably. Who's the victim here? Who gets harmed by Fred Willard having a little Fred Willard in the dark?
Why
come on.
Why do they raid those places, really?
Why do they raid those places, really? Great question,
I
Lisa.
I don't know.
I mean, that's kind of the point.
I didn't know those places even existed anymore.
I didn't either. There can't be many.
But come on now. It's not like we're making the rules, but it should be like that.
Yeah. It should be like... Yeah, why do these places exist? I mean, for reals. Who... This isn't like the Batman movie where you wanted to see it on the big screen with the big sound and the big
although
picture,
although I plan
okay?
on doing the same thing, if that's all right, at Batman.
How is this better than watching a DVD if you're old school, or watching porn online on the internet if you're, I don't know, under 78 years old? Why is this a choice that you make?
Maybe there's a thrill about the fact that you're kind of in public.
Could be. Maybe you're looking for friendship?
I guess. In
quotes?
That's possible.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but he was arrested and booked, and then, as TMZ is quick to point out, it was a quick release for Fred Willard.
Simon Cowell doesn't kid himself. The X Factor judge tells Us Weekly, the talent doesn't always help on the show. We have definitely put girls through because they're hot.
Duh.
Yeah. Oh, well, that we know.
That we knew from the beginning, yeah, but at least he finally came out and said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zero for effort, zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
But 10 for hot, so you're
so
going through.
You're going through to Hollywood.
Simon's defense has always been, look, we're trying to make a pop star, a marketable person that can make us money, and the total package also requires that you be somewhat attractive. And if somebody is attractive enough, they can pull off a song that maybe an ugly person couldn't pull off. I mean, in a way, it makes sense. It's legitimate to put somebody through because they're attractive, right?
That's the only thing to do with them. And that's why Bean and I are not judges.
Emmy nominations 2012 announced earlier this morning. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel in his pajamas made the announcement down at the TV Academy along with actress Kerry Washington. The nominees in the biggest two categories, Best Drama on Television. None of the network shows got nominated, but Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, Mad Men, Homeland, and Game of Thrones all got the nod for Best Drama. Best Comedy, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Girls, 30 Rock, Veep, Modern Family, and Big Bang. The awards are going to be held in September with Jimmy Kimmel as the host. So congratulations to all the nominees. And as we've talked about earlier in the hour, what a disappointment for Hugh Laurie, who's done as Dr. House, who never won an Emmy and won't win one this year because he wasn't nominated in his category. Very sad.
Yeah, that does suck. Celebrity birthdays, guitarist Brian May of Queen is 65. Comedian Lisa Lampanelli doesn't say. Actor
smart girl.
Anthony Edwards is 50. The drummer for Death Cab for Cutie, Jason McGuire, is 38. Actor Jared Padalecki, who's from Supernatural and Gilmore Girls, is 30. And UFC light heavyweight champ of the world, who we just had in the studio, John Bones Jones, is 25 years old today.
Got the world by the tail.
That is the show.
Kevin, refresh our listeners' memories, maybe, for the few who weren't listening last time we had this discussion. Tell people about the letter you got in the mail from the state of California recently.
I got a letter from the DMV, and they said, you're a horrible driver, and you might think you're a good driver, but you're one of the worst drivers in California. It was super insulting. And then
what were they basing that on?
And then it's so personal, right? And then they go, especially when you back up and park. No, no, they didn't. But I had a speeding ticket for going 40 in a 25. By the way, that's barely a speeding ticket. Let's be honest. 40 and a 25.
No, I agree.
It's not 60.
It's 40. And I had a red light camera ticket that they had sent me from, I don't know, Riverside or something. And that was it. That's all I had in the last 3-4 years. So I thought, how many more people are worse drivers than I am? And they're coming down on me.
You should be in jail.
Why does the man hate?
Well, we do have a go-to guy on this topic that from time to time we bring on to the Kevin and Bean Show. And his name is Lee Rittenberg. He is an attorney who runs TrafficDefenders.com. TrafficDefenders.com. It's been going around. Is this right, Lee? 20 years you've been running strong with this?
Yes, it's 20 years this year. Thanks for having me.
How about that? Well, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. It's been a while since we talked to you. We appreciate you squeezing us in. What's the deal with this letter that my man Kevin got? Is this something that the state is trying now to shame people into being better drivers? Or what's the purpose behind that?
They've been doing it for quite some time. These are called warning letters. If you don't know already, 4 points in any 12-month period suspends a person's driver's license for 6 months. So when you get to 2 or 3 points, the DMV send you a warning letter saying, hey, you're getting dangerously close to that threshold.
But they don't say that. They say, literally, they say, you are one of the worst drivers in California.
Well, I guess they know you better than I do.
They may.
Lee, this may be calling for you to make a guess. Perhaps you don't know, or I don't know if there's data on this, but what percentage of people whose license is suspended because they get too many points decide to stop driving versus the number of people who just go, well, I'll just be more careful so I don't get pulled over?
I don't know the percentages, but I do know that I get a lot of clients who get cited for driving on a suspended license. Even though you don't have the right piece of paper, you don't have your license valid, people still got to go to work. People still got to live their lives. So you really don't want to get into a situation where your license is suspended, because if you're pulled over while you're in suspension status, if you don't know, driving on a suspended license is a 2-point ticket. It's a misdemeanor. They often impound your car, and you can potentially go to jail.
Wow.
You don't want to get to that 4-point threshold where your license will be suspended. And if you are suspended, boy, try to take a bus.
All right. So the red light ticket that was a picture that was taken, that's a point?
And if you're commercial, it's a point and a half.
I'm not commercial.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so a point. And then the speeding, the 40 and the 25 is a point.
Another single point. So you've got two. If you get one more, you're right on the cliff.
Wow.
Wow, how about that? These red light tickets have been in the news a lot lately. We've had a couple of discussions, Lee, recently about it. And the conclusion that we've come to, and the reason we wanted to have you on today, is that it seems like it's a jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction deal, depending on where you are, should determine whether you want to pay that ticket. What's the latest on that? What's going on? Because it seems like the laws are very difficult for us to get our heads around.
Well, that's a really good question. Well, the city of Los Angeles ended its red light camera program on July 31st of last year. So L.A. City camera tickets that are still in the system will be dismissed if you show up in court, because no officer will appear in court to prosecute the case.
I see.
But you have to show up?
Yeah, if you want to get your case dismissed. But throughout L.A. County, if you ignore the ticket that you get in the mail, there's really, at this time, no tangible negative effect. First, you'll get a
notice. That's what I was told, and so I didn't. But now it's the point, and they're sending me a mean letter.
Well, first they'll send you a letter telling you they've added $300. And if you don't respond to that notice, they'll refer the matter to a collection agency. But the L.A. County courts, make sure it's an L.A. County case you're talking about, do not send the information about red light camera tickets to the DMV, so it won't hold up your registration, they won't put a hold on your driver's license, and you won't be reported to a credit.
What if it was in Riverside?
All other counties other than L.A. County do report to the DMV.
Isn't it punishment enough that I had to be in Riverside? I mean, come on.
Well, listen, I live in San Bernardino, so it's
hey, know your audience, Kevin.
Sorry.
Come on.
Know you're talking to. But you can beat your ticket, because first the law says that there has to be a clear photo of both the driver's face and the license plate in the same photographic frame.
Interesting.
So if there's no still photo of both the driver's face and the license plate in the same picture square, then your identity as the driver of the car has not been proven, and you can win that way. Second, the law says that the officer has to testify that there are signs in all directions warning of the cameras. It doesn't matter whether or not the signs are there. It matters whether or not on the record of the case the officer testifies that the signs are there. And I've won cases when the officer doesn't so testify. And finally, the law says that the government, not the contracting company, has to be the one to be operating the cameras. And very often, the officer will testify that it's the company that installed the cameras, the company that installed the film, the company that develops the pictures, the company that repairs the cameras. And then you have the argument that, hey, the company is really operating the system, not the government. And using these arguments, you can win your ticket even in Riverside.
Okay. Wow. See, this is why you hire a traffic attorney, by the way. That's interesting. I did not know that.
I have two things. One is a statement and one is a question. The statement is, it's clearly me because of my I have a giant head. And it's like, I looked at it, I was like, you can't tell that's me. And my wife goes, who has a head that big?
As distinct from an ego?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's rough. And my question is, what if I already, because I got this advice from other people, ignored it? There's no way to go back now that I'm late and get a different ruling, is there?
Did you just think, no, you have a failure to appear now on your record or a civil assessment. You'll beat that because you never promised to appear because you weren't given a ticket in the in-person situation where you signed the ticket.
Right, they just sent it.
So you'll get that part of it dismissed, and then you can plead not guilty and set it for trial and go and fight it in the way I described and hopefully win it. One other thing, a lot of times in these cases, you're able to negotiate the case to a zero-pointer. Sometimes you can convince the cop, and there's usually one cop who does all of these camera tickets, to change the charge from the red light ticket, which, as we mentioned, was a point, to another section of the vehicle code that carries with it 0 points. So that's worth a try, and then you don't even have to take traffic school, and you still won't have the point on your driving record.
But that's a win-win.
How do you do that?
Well, you talk to the officer about it. Some officers won't talk to defendants the way they will talk to attorneys, but you approach the officer before trial and ask him if he'd be willing to change the charge to some 0 point section of the vehicle code. There's something called, I'll throw one out for your listeners, there's something called coasting, vehicle code section 21710. This is driving in neutral. You're not supposed to do it, but it's not a point. So if they would change the red light ticket to a coasting violation, sure, you'd have the coasting conviction on your record, but that conviction would not have a point attached to it the way a red light conviction would.
Now, is there only incentive to do that just to be a nice guy? There's no other reason, right?
Well, sometimes you'd be surprised. These cops really aren't that comfortable with these camera tickets. You know, they don't like the fact that Big Brother is, looking into your car.
I like it less.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised, especially when you're a commercial driver, when you can't take traffic school, you'll find some officers are pretty sympathetic.
All right, let me ask one more question because we're running out of time, and this is for everybody. What happens when I get pulled over doing 40 in the 25? I mean, basically, yeah, that's speeding. What should I do, in the case of getting pulled over? I always try to remember your advice for this, and I can never remember what I'm supposed to do.
Well, if radar or laser was used in measuring your speed of 40,
it was.
You actually have a great chance to win.
What?
Because whenever radar or laser is used, the officer has to bring into court an engineering and traffic survey, and if they don't bring that in, you win. Even if they bring it in, that survey has to be dated within the last 5 years, and if it's not, you win. And even if they bring it in and it is dated within the last 5 years, if the technical information inside the survey does not justify the posted speed limit of 25, you win. And the reason you win in all of those circumstances is that at law, it's considered a speed trap, and the matter has to be immediately.
It is a speed trap, by the way. It was a downhill thing, and they sit at the bottom and pull people over by the dozens.
One other thing.
Go ahead,
Lee. You were cited under the basic speed law in that situation, and the basic speed law doesn't say you can't go faster than the speed limit. What it says is you can't go faster than is reasonable given the road conditions at the time. And what happens in these cases very often, and, I have been doing it 20 years, is that very often the cops will come into court and they get so fixated on their radar or laser number 40 in your case that what they fail to say is what they have to say, namely that 40 was unreasonable, that 40 endangered people, that 40 endangered property.
Yeah, which wasn't the case at all.
Right. you can win that way as well.
All right, I need to be in touch with you.
Lee, we make fun of weaselly attorneys all the time, but I'm glad you're the way that you are, my friend, because you are doing some good work out there just being weaselly. TrafficDefenders.com is Lee Rittenberg's business for 20 years now. You can call 1-800-210-7477. And, of course, we've got that here at K-Rock, or easier still, TrafficDefenders.com. Lee, let's do it again soon, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
It was fun.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Boy, you can win in every way you can win.
Sounds like.
All right. Your phone calls if you want to go to UFC at Staples Center. 1-800-520-1067. You call now, and we will get you into that fight coming up.
How about some tickets to UFC on Fox 4? This is live at Staples Center coming up on Saturday, August the 14th. It won't be easy for you to win, though. In fact, it's the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Now, Ralph is out on vacation, so Mr. Announcer Man...
What does that have to do with Mr. Announcer Man? They're completely different people, Kevin.
Mr. Announcer Man is on vacation.
Okay.
And so we have a fill-in for Mr. Announcer Man, and he is Senior Announcer Hombre.
Buenos dias, Kevin E. Frijol.
Senior Announcer Hombre, the way the game is played here is that we are going to be playing the names of popular UFC fighters, but they're going to be backwards, right? And then the caller just has to identify who the person is forwards. If they're right, they go into the drawing and they win tickets for the UFC on Fox number 4.
Yes, and no está fácil, es muy duro.
Stop it, you don't speak Spanish.
Duro!
Look at how much Spanish he knows all of a sudden.
Duro!
Right. So let's kill the annoying music and let's go to our first contestant. It is going to be Michael. He is on caller.
I believe I do that, Bean.
Senior Announcer Hombre, who's our first contestant today, please?
It's Mikalo, and he's a customer service agent.
Well done. Michael, hi.
Hi.
All right, so Dave, Senior Announcer Hombre,
yes, sir,
said the names of these fighters forward, then we reversed it. So you have to tell us who the fighter is. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
They're not necessarily on this bill at Staples Center. They're just the biggest names in UFC. Here's yours.
Smush Nosh.
One more. You get to hear it twice.
Smush Nosh.
Josh Koscheck.
John Jones.
Thanks for playing.
Sorry, dude.
No! Next, let's go to Adam. He's a mechanical.
He's Adam, and he's a mechanic, Dave. Come on.
Maybe you could fix my English.
I don't think we can fix anything about you. All right, Adam, you ready?
Yeah.
Here's your UFC fighter backwards.
Ray, yes, Cedros.
One more time.
Ray, yes, Cedros.
Shogun Hua?
Georges St. Pierre.
Georges? Did you say
George? Is it just George?
Yes.
Senior Announcer Hombre?
Nope. It's actually Georges. He's a French Canadian.
It's spelled Georges, but it's not said
Georges.
No one ever has said Georges.
It's Georges St. Pierre. Get it right, Kevin.
It isn't. It's George St. Pierre.
Who knows it? Me or you?
Me.
Nope.
Who's our next contestant, Senior Announcer Hombre?
It's Anik. Oh.
Let's put some money on that last one. Aniko. Okay. Anik. Omnik.
Onik, yeah, hey.
Whatever your name is, sorry. Here's hardest game in the world. Here is your UFC fighter. You ready?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Havos Nisternet.
One more time.
Havos Nisternet.
This is why it's the hardest game in the world.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I'm sorry. Senior Announcer Hombre, I'm sorry. What's the name of the game?
The hardest game in the world.
No, you're supposed to.
But no, esta fácil es muy duro.
All right. Amik.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Anderson Silva.
About that. Well done.
Do that.
Bueno. Next, let's go to Chad.
Chad. All right, we have one winner. We only have two pairs, so now we're in sudden death. You get it right, you win, you go. All right, Chad, hi.
Dave, your Spanish sucks, your English sucks, and your French sucks. It's George, not Georges.
That's what
sake.
I said.
Amen.
Pay the man, Dave. Shut up. Dave is wrong
in all three languages. All right,
I'll find out now. Shut up.
All right, here we go. Here's your fighter.
Cistro Woodies.
One more time.
Cistro Woodies.
Lawyer to Machida. I don't know.
Tito Ortiz.
Sorry.
Tito sucks.
Suck it, Chad.
Tito sucks it's his fault.
I'm very excited that we're up to Gilbert now on line 5. I'm particularly excited to see which fighter Dave tried to pronounce here, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Gilbert, listen up. You ready for yours?
Yes, I am.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Rostokiner.
One more time.
Rostokiner.
Shut up, old
man. All right, who's that? Hello? Gilbert. Not that. That was
Randy Couture.
Do we have the tape on Dave with Randy or no?
We do. This is Dave trying to say
Randy Couture. Randy Couture.
Why can't I say this?
Randy Couture. Oh. Randy Couture. Randy Couture.
Dave trying to speak just English.
I love that.
Just trying to say English. All right, are we done or do we keep going? We got to get.
We need one more. We got. Let's try one more contestant. See if we can give away this final pair of tickets.
Next,
UFC
we have
on
Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, what's going on?
Are you ready for your fighter?
I'm really, really hoping that it's going to be okay.
Okay, here you go.
Harish Namo Stoil.
One more time.
Harish Namo Stoil.
Oh, man. I know we're running out of time. Can I just have the tickets?
Yes, you can.
This game is muy duro.
It is the hardest game in the world.
Yeah, it's not easy. We did kind of warn you about that. But what do you think? You want to take a stab at it?
Dragon. Dragon.
It doesn't.
The dragon.
It sounds like it's saying.
Dragon.
The dragon. Machito.
What's his first name?
Stop typing.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
Machida.
So
oh, come on, Machida.
Yeah, you don't even deserve these.
Tomato,
tickets.
Tomato, come on. Yeah,
we
I did
tried
give it
so
away.
So hard. That was Lyoto Machida we were looking
Lyoto
for that time.
Machida.
Thank you. All right, one more, and this
Let's
is
go
it.
To
Win,
Norman.
Win or lose.
All right. Hi, Norm. Men.
No.
Norman?
Yes, hello.
I don't know what's happening. All right, here you go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
How hoy siram.
One more time.
How hoy siram.
If there was ever one that was easy, that's the one. Sounds very similar backwards to forwards.
Ooh, that was hard.
Shogun Hua. Yeah!
Mauricio Hua.
We got a winner. We got a winner. Thanks to everybody for playing. Enjoy UFC Fox on Fox 4. Thank you very much at Staples Center coming up. Hey, thank you, Senior Announcer Hombre.
No problemo.
.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:43.
That is Kansas, Karen and Wayward Son, here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
No, that's fun.
Yeah, right. Steve Drinnenberg from Brea just won tickets to go see the Black Keys at Staples Center on October the 6th. We've got them for you all day long here on K-Rock, and then tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, grand prize drawing. Who knows? Maybe it'll be Steve. We'll be calling out for K-Rock Road Trips USA 2012 Destination Number 3, which is the Black Keys and a lot of other great acts at Lollapalooza in Chicago. Details at KROQ.com.
Got a huge celebrity feud going on. Got a big beef. I don't know what's going to happen.
I do have some big beef.
Robert Pattinson. Welcome it's to the true. Studio, Robert
what's
Pattinson.
What's this bird's name?
I'm Lisa.
Hi.
We've met before, Robert.
Big beef.
You've been here before.
I'm Rob Pattinson, and the big beef is Nob Pattinson right here in my pants.
Rob Pattinson is apparently fighting with Andrew Garfield. Because, you know, they're actors and they're British. And
what's the big deal?
They seem to be fighting with
what's
each other.
What's the big deal? He's insulting and he's terrible and he's a cat that doesn't do much and likes lasagna.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Well, you're thinking of the cat Garfield. Yeah. This is Andrew Garfield who plays the Amazing Spider-Man.
Apparently can't stand you, Pattinson. He hates that you're put in the same category because you're both English and you're both around the same age. Because he considers himself an actor, mm-hmm. and he considers you Twilight.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't like the movies I'm in. That's
right.
That's funny. Well,
they're a little flimsy.
During this conversation, mm-hmm. I bought and sold Andrew Garfield.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That may
so
be
So he
true.
Can suck it.
I didn't realize that happened.
But are you...
he's got a lot of balls on him to insult me as an actor when he's Spider-Man.
He says he's a serious actor.
He's not Iago, is he? He's Spider-Man. Oh, let me swing from building to building and fling little webs out from my hands. I'm so great.
Well, it's a little more manly than you turning... all diamondy when the sun comes out.
But I have a serious question.
Yes.
Lisa, does the carpet match the drapes?
Okay, well, that's not what you're in here for, Rob. Mm-hmm. That's not what this is about.
There's no carpet.
There has been no carpet for a long time.
That's fantastic. That's the answer I was looking for.
You versus Andrew Garfield. How are you guys going to settle this? Because you are both young. You're both in Hollywood. You're going to be circling each other, maybe even up for some of the same roles in years to come.
I'd like
to
see
put this feud to bed.
I'd like to see a fist fight.
Real rambler.
You don't strike us as a rambler.
I live my life by the code of the Shogun. Bushido, my friend.
No, you don't.
That's not the case at all.
There's only two ways to settle things.
Yeah.
It's either in the octagon
Do you train with Georges St. Pierre?
I have. And Randy Couture. We have extreme training sessions together.
I can't help but notice you have your guitar. You're also still
playing.
That's right.
That's the
playing.
Only other way to settle things.
Is with a song?
With a ballad battle.
A battle of the ballads.
That's right. You it just get face to face like a dance battle. You grab your six string and... Bing bang.
Okay.
Speaking
all right,
of
so do you have a song that's about Andrew Garfield?
I actually do.
Oh, wow.
Can we hear it?
I don't have a song. I just have constant poetry in my head that just like vomits out, and then my guitar goes along with it. It's amazing how it works like that.
Okay. You can't even control your fingers. It's just right now.
I don't even want to play.
Boom. Right. I'm playing. Like, oh, I wish I could stop it, hand. I wish I could stop. Please stop playing. Nope.
Can't.
You hear that, Kevin?
Right. It's crazy. Still,
wow.
It was our Pat throwing down in his feud with Spider-Man.
Andrew Garfield, what, huh? Well, let me think about Andrew Garfield. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield started AIDS.
What?
No, that's not true.
He was patient number one from having sex with monkeys.
All right.
Okay. Well, listen. AIDS talking has been around longer than he
talking
has.
About bestiality, yeah. Andrew Garfield
None of this is true.
Why would he start AIDS? So many people have suffered.
First of all, this is not a song.
Yeah.
And second of all, that's just not true.
And third of all, it would be patient zero.
That's a good point, right?
That's true. Would not be patient one.
Monkey could be zero, and then Andrew Garfield brought in the missing link.
Okay, you're going to need to rewrite that one.
All right, okay, let me try it again.
Sorry. Robert Pattinson in the studio.
Andrew Garfield makes his money doing favors in bathhouses.
There's no evidence of that.
There's clear evidence of it.
How
the
did you
government's
write that
afraid
before?
To report it because of the conspiracy against guys like Andrew Garfield doing stuff in bathhouses.
What?
Okay, look, you're just.
You guys don't know how British government works.
We don't know how British government works, but
Andrew Garfield is responsible for the conspiracy at Penn State. He led the cover up.
Wow.
Yep.
He had nothing to do with that.
Sandusky would have been caught a long time ago if it wasn't for Andrew Garfield.
Okay, listen. This is not appropriate at all. Our pets, good luck.
Goes like a knife.
Good luck with the feud. Thanks for stopping by.
Shut up, Andrew Garfield.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5 minutes till 8 o'clock. I'm surprised to see you, Psycho Mike, because
why?
I don't know if you heard, but Rob Pattinson was in the studio.
I couldn't believe that.
Did you see him on his way out?
Is that what all the chicks in front?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Rob Pattinson.
Yeah, that was ugly, that feud with Spider-Man, too. Hey, listen.
He's really digging deep.
He was. We're going to be talking to you and about you if you have a prison pen pal. Coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Mike, your Loveline co-host, Dr. Drew, is going to be joining us next hour as well.
We have a prison pen pal, Dr. Drew and I.
Is that right?
We write OJ all the time.
How about that? Ralph is on vacation this week. Mike is here this hour filling in on the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for Thursday. What's happening?
All right. There's really only one story in Hollywood right now.
Well, unfortunately. And it ate the Emmys.
Yeah. Yeah. This is bigger than the Emmys right now. Fred Willard, star of Anchorman. You've seen him in, like, the Christopher Guest movies. That's pretty much where he made his fame. He was arrested for lewd conduct last night in Hollywood at an adult theater for pleasuring himself at an adult movie. Now, what I don't understand.
Hold on. Why are the kids so happy about that, Bean? That seems maybe that's not the time.
I think the kids are just enjoying the humor in the situation. But Psycho Mike, who knew that adult movie theaters existed as a place where you pay your money and go in and sit down in a theater and watch a film on a big screen?
I'm with
Hasn't
you.
Fred Willard ever heard of the freaking internet?
Not only that.
He's old, you guys. He probably doesn't know how to make all that work.
Lisa, listen. You're right, but when it comes to stuff like that, trust me, men are pretty intuitive.
Yeah.
Like, they'll figure that out.
Like, my father is a genius level. When it comes to IQ, he's genius level. Can't figure out, he's an old guy, so he can't figure out how to work his internet. Calls me to figure out how to work the remote control. Comes to spanking it, he's got it all taken care of. It's like he's MacGyver. Yeah. But what I don't understand is, if these things do still exist, we're all shocked that there are adult theaters where guys go and watch movies nowadays in 2012. If that's the case, isn't that what they're for then? If someone's going to show a movie on a big screen that is of an adult nature, guys are going to go there.
to be alone in their trench coat and have fun with their Vaseline.
They're, you can't expect them to just go and watch an hour and a half movie.
Look, it's illegal. We understand that. But
who gets harmed by Fred Willard going in there, taking care of business, and leaving? Who's the victim there?
All kidding aside, you're exactly right. I'm not for lewd conduct.
Maybe
because
the guy in front of Fred Willard.
There's kids in the world, and they don't need to be exposed to stuff like that. But they're not at an adult theater where you have to be at least 18 to walk through those doors.
Right.
And you, by the way, if you're another patron at the adult theater, if you're offended by a guy doing that, then what are you doing in a theater that's showing, by the way, this is not a joke, the three movies on rotation there, Follow Me 2, a triple X parody of The Client List, Stepdad Number 2, and...
Ew.
I can't say the other name.
Okay, you can't say it.
So, you know, my point being that everyone there is going to watch smut on a big screen as collectively as a whole. Let's leave Fred Willard alone, because this probably will negatively impact his career. At least
I doubt it.
In an initial sense.
In the short term, maybe.
Yeah.
My theory is they're trying to close that theater down.
Oh,
because what? Because why else would they use police resources for a crime like this?
Law enforcement tells TMZ the LAPD vice officers were not conducting a raid, simply a random walkthrough of the premises.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Random walkthrough?
If you live nearby Hollywood, you know that there's a lot of other stuff the Vice Squad can be doing in Hollywood.
Drive with me to work every day. There's some people that maybe need to be talked to.
I just think that, like,
Stepdad 2 is showing. I need to go walk through.
By the way, 78-year-old.
Yeah.
That was one of the first things I noticed is, you know, good on Fred for still having the sex drive at 78.
And he must exfoliate. Looks good.
That looks really good, right?
You with me, Lisa?
Yeah, I am.
78.
I'm not sure what part of the body you're talking about, so I cannot comment.
Look, the one thing I know is, and I feel bad for Mr. Willard because we're all huge fans of his, he will have something hilarious to say about this sometime soon.
Yeah.
Maybe sometime.
I hope so.
I'm not sure sometime soon.
This is pretty humiliating.
Did they put him in cuffs?
That's what I heard.
If they put him in cuffs and... Someone
had to take care of the pants.
Somebody help with the biz?
Maybe the complaint
The biz was unfinished.
Somebody choked on his dust.
Oh, Lisa.
Wow.
Lisa,
how are
really
you coming at a legend like that,
stop
Lisa?
Coughing, you know, and so that wasn't cool.
Wow. By the way. And I'm going to rent Choking on Dust, the senior citizen-themed adult movie that is now Choking on Dust. Lisa.
Wow, rarely does Lisa go too far.
Too far.
I love it, though.
Really?
Too far.
I think our pats really set Lisa off, put her in a dark frame of mind.
I think it's all of you that are...
No, don't blame it on us.
Holy mackerel. Yeah, and Emmy nominations. So I'm looking at these for the first time as I read them. Most of them seem pretty obvious. You know, Best Drama, Boardwalk Empire, Breaking Bad, Downton Abbey, Mad Men, Homeland, and Game of Thrones.
All great.
There you go. So, best comedy. I don't watch any comedy, so you guys tell me. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Great.
Certainly, like, well-written. Girls, mm-hmm. 30 Rock, Veep, Modern Family, and Big Bang.
They're all really good.
Yeah. All good.
All right. So,
how do you choose?
As best actor, here's a strange one. Steve Buscemi from Boardwalk Empire, Michael C. Hall from Dexter, Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad, Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey, and John Hamm from Mad Men, Damian Lewis from Homeland. That's pretty tough competition.
I don't know who you choose.
Who's it missing?
Who is it missing?
It is missing Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, really?
You know, we found out he never did win an Emmy for that. That's never surprising.
Yeah, okay.
He was great
if he's never even won one, okay, fine. All right, so there you go, Emmys, and then there's birthdays today. Let me see here. Randy Couture turns Georges St. Pierre. That was unbelievable. I don't understand how Dave struggles so much with three languages. But the more baffling thing to me was as he was doing it, like the names of the callers, he would say, "And we have line number three, Jesse." Like, you can't just say Jesse.
Yeah, I know.
What about Hell? It's Hal, Dave. I don't understand it.
Not my fault. Then he gets mad at me when I correct Georges.
Yeah.
All right, I love it.
Dave's a good man. Guitarist Brian May of Queen, 65 years old. Comedian Lisa Lampanelli is 51.
Is she?
Lisa Lampanelli, good on ya. Much like Fred Willard, looking good for 51. She just lost a bunch of weight, too. She had the surgery. She looks,
she did?
Yes, I like Lisa very much.
Not with that applause. Back to you.
Actor Anthony Edwards is 50. I believe he was Goose in Top Gun.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. He was Goose.
You're right. Yeah. He was Goose.
That's right. I am dangerous. Drummer Jason McGurr of Death Cab for Cutie is 38. If you have the name Jason McGurr, you should be in a tougher band than Death Cab for Cutie.
You're agreed.
Actor Jared Padalecki He's from Supernatural and Gilmore Girls. He is 30 years old. And UFC light heavyweight champ, a guy who's trained with Randy Couture. A man who may one day drop down and wait and fight Georges St. Pierre. He is John Jones, a man who was in these studios very recently.
Very impressive.
Lisa May, he's accomplished so much. 25 years old today.
I love that
25.
Guy. Yep.
Woo!
All right, we got it.
All right!
Keep it going.
Okay.
Yeah! And for you listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, wherever you are, this applause is for you! I'm Psycho Mike Cathwood, filling in for Ralph Garman. That is a Showbiz Beat.
Anna Gunn from the TV show Breaking Bad. I think she's, isn't she Skylar? She's the wife? She's Skylar? I think she's going to be joining us tomorrow here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So glad that that show is back. Also, Mr. Movie Phone will be filling in on the movie beat in for the Vacation and Ralph Garman. And listen to this. Thomas Lennon, who, by the way, is not only in the new Batman movie that opens up tonight at midnight, but is a hilarious comedian and actor. He has written a book called Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, How We Made $1 Billion at the Box Office, and You Can Too. He and his co-author, Robert Guerin, are going to be joining us in studio tomorrow. That is a lot of show tomorrow right here on the world famous K-Rock.
Magnets! Magnets indeed, exactly.
All right, let's talk, that was from Breaking Bad.
Oh.
Let's talk about pen pals with prisoners. This is really bizarre to me. I was watching Lock Up or Lock Down, whichever one it is on
Locked In
on MSNBC. They have all those shows where they do those extended stay shows and they interview the inmates. And these
Why do you love that show so much?
I don't know.
Because this is like the 80th time you've come in and said, so I'm watching Locked Up or Locked Down, whichever one it is.
Because he knows he's so lucky not to be one of those people.
That's very possible. That I belong there and if I was there, I would die.
But what's your fascination with prison?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't understand. It's one of those things where if there's nothing else on, I go there and check if that's on because they seem to run it 24 hours a day. That's their whole programming thing. And it's a fascinating world and the people that are the guards there and the inmates and their behavior. And some of the times they explain their behavior. They know they're being idiots. I don't know. It's just fascinating. But I was watching another episode of it and there was a marriage that was going to happen. And this is a woman who met the guy after he was already in prison. They didn't fall in love before, and then the guy did something and he went to prison, so they didn't know each other. Somehow she started writing to him, and that fascinated me. We've done this topic before.
Yeah.
You write people in jail. Why? I mean, aren't there enough people out of jail? Are we out of those people?
I remember when we did it last time, and I think it was about Peterson. What was his name? Scott Peterson.
Scott Peterson, yeah.
And somebody called and said that she didn't believe he was guilty.
Yep.
And she felt sorry for him. And that's why she was writing him. So I think a lot of times it's women who just decide, in spite of all the evidence, that these poor men aren't guilty. They're being railroaded and they need female companionship.
Is it possible that it's a safe attempt at making a connection?
Absolutely.
Like the guy's in prison, so it's not like he'll ditch me for a date or something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
he's desperate. I might be just enough
exactly.
for him.
So this woman...
It's kind of like having an imaginary boyfriend that can be anything that you want because you're never going to have to deal with him in real life. You
right.
can imagine any kind of scenario that you want.
Until he gets paroled and then you have to go to Canada.
You have to change your name and move. Right. What about the time a few years ago? And by the way, we want to take your calls. And I don't know who's out there that has been in a prison pal, pen pal relationship.
Even if you were the prisoner...
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Or if you wrote a prisoner.
We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Do you remember a few years ago the woman that we had in, the Kevin and Bean Lister that we had in, who had a multiple-year relationship with Richard Ramirez, the
yes.
Night Stalker? Remember?
I do.
She came in and she brought in all of her scrapbooks where she had saved all the articles about him and pictures and stuff like that and all of the letters that they had written back and forth. And she really, if I remember correctly, and it's been years, but I think she was in love with him. I mean, I think
yeah.
she really considered him her soulmate.
Yeah. Did she think he'd done it? Then killed all
I don't
people?
Remember that part of her story. I think she just disregarded it. This might be kind of a bummer to people, but all of the worst people, Jeffrey Dahmer, all of the really
Menendez brothers.
Horrible, horrible people.
Get
more chicks than you do. Yeah. They get fan mail all the time.
Now, do you think, and let me ask you this again as we take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, do you think that women are more likely to be writing to male prisoners or the other way around?
Males writing to women. No, I would say it's almost 100% women to men.
I would too.
Interesting. Wow.
I would guess.
Because I just remember from my appearance in the Jailbait 14 porn video, if you recall.
Yeah, but that's not reality, dude.
There were a lot of hot, but those were real hot chicks who had really been in jail, though. Some of those chicks were hot enough to write to, I'll tell you that.
But
that, yeah, they handpicked those women, so that's like five women out of a million.
That's an impossible thing to guess. I would guess it's men, women to men, but I really don't know.
Do you think that part of it is also this? We've talked before about how there are women who are attracted to bad boys or guys that they think need their fixing.
Right.
Do you think that's some of it, too, is that this guy's had a rough life or he's made mistakes or
he's
bad.
Taken care of?
But now I can turn him around and change him and turn him into a great person. Do you think that's part of the draw for some of these ladies?
Yeah, women definitely are attracted to that.
And let me tell you, the end of this story is that the woman that wanted to get – she ended up marrying him in prison. But they couldn't do it on their original date because the prisoner was throwing his urine at the guards.
Oh, wow. So she did pick a winner,
so
right?
So they had to change the date, and she was bummed, but she said, okay. And then they got married a month later.
Oh. So that wasn't a turnoff for her.
No, that wasn't enough to say, you know what, I may have picked poorly.
Oh, man. I love that there are guys listening right now who are nice-looking guys,
right,
who have a job, who are just looking for a woman to settle down with and have a family. They can't get a date, yet this guy in prison who's flinging his pee is turning them away.
And other
All right,
things.
Gina, you hang on. Richard, you hang on. Everybody else, 1-800-520-1067. Prison pen pals. That's the topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to you right after this on the world-famous... We have to warn the affiliates, we're going long. This is unbelievable, the calls. We don't have any affiliates, do we?
No. Mm-hmm.
No. This is unbelievable, the calls we're getting here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. We're talking about prison pen pals at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin brought the topic up because he saw it recently on that Locked Up show. Who are these people who write to prisoners and develop relationships out of them? One of those people is Jennifer. She's on line 7, and she joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. What happened?
So,
who hurt you?
No, you know what? It was not unhealthy at all. I knew somebody in there. He said, "I know this great guy. Do you want to write him?" I said, "Sure." And so we started writing, and then I went to visit, and he was in 5 years total. He was about 2 years in when I met him.
What was he in for?
Assault.
Is that does not sound like a great guy.
No, let me just ask you, Jennifer. For most people, I don't know, red flag. Assault equals red flag.
I honestly didn't know right away what he was in for. I learned as the years went on the extent of the, you know, what he was
how
in for,
you,
basically.
I'm sorry. How do you not get to what he's there for until years later?
How is that not the first thing you ask your other friend who's in prison? Hey, what did this dude that you're trying to fix me up with do?
I knew it was assault. I just didn't know the severity of it.
Okay. So you guys start writing to each other, mm-hmm, and you're impressed. You sent us an email, and you said you were impressed that he was well-read and he was smart. He had a good sense of humor. So you thought, I'm going to make the trek, and I'm going to go down and visit this guy.
Yeah.
Was it electricity when you guys met in person?
I don't think it was electricity. It was, we had developed a friendship at that point, and he was so nice, and he was cute, and, you know.
In jail for assault.
Misunderstood.
He didn't seem
Look,
like...
not everybody who goes to jail for assault is automatically a bad person for their whole life. I'm serious.
I agree,
I'm not saying that you can't redeem yourself or that you can't then be a worthwhile member of society. It's just usually that's a deal breaker, I would imagine, when it comes to meeting chicks, but apparently
also,
not.
Keep in mind, I was like 20.
All right, Jennifer, let me ask you another question. This is not meant to be insulting, but you couldn't get a guy on the outside?
I just went for the bad boys.
I know, but there are bad boys on the outside.
I know. You know what? I honestly, looking back, I don't even remember what it was exactly about him. But
did you guys stay together throughout the time that he was incarcerated and then like start having a regular real world relationship when he was released?
Yes, we did. We were together.
And how'd that go?
It was great. We just grew apart. I mean, we grew up. We grew apart. We were both young. And he never got into another fight. He never got into trouble again.
Amazing was the first time you guys were able to have sex after you had been having this platonic relationship for 3 years while he was in prison?
Honestly, it was a bit awkward.
Really? Yeah. How about that? A bit awkward.
It was.
So you look back on it overall as a positive experience.
I do.
Are you still writing people you don't know in prison?
I would never do it again.
Okay.
And honestly,
okay.
I didn't, my family didn't know.
Of
Most
course.
Of my friends to this day don't know. They know I dated him. They don't know how we met.
Do you know why? Fascinating. Because you were writing him in jail.
I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
100% of the time.
I would say a lot of the times it is, but in Jennifer's case, it sounds like she went in with her eyes open and they had a regular, reasonable relationship that continued afterwards. I don't think there's any downside. I mean, to me, it sounds like it worked out for her.
I know that there's a lot of people it doesn't work out for, but for me, it was not a negative. It wasn't a bad experience at all.
Fantastic. Jennifer, thank you so much for listening to Kevin Amicho. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks,
all
right. Guys.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
We got to talk to Easley real quick. I know that we have Dr. Drew standing by and we're low on time, but Easley, do I have this correct? You are currently in a prison pen pal relationship. Right. Easley, hello.
Oh, hi. Yeah, sorry.
Hi. You're currently writing to a prisoner?
Yes, in Canada.
Somebody that we have heard of?
Yes.
Who?
Luca Magnotta.
Isn't he the Canadian cannibal?
Absolutely.
What's going on?
What?
I think I'm partially psychotic myself.
So you understand him?
This just got weird.
Yeah, no. Well, I just have a lot of friends in that area that knew him, and it turns out like he's a really nice, normal guy, that something just snapped.
Wait a minute. Leslie. He ceases being a nice, normal guy when he eats people.
That's alleged. Allegedly.
It's proven, isn't it? I mean, he's in court. I mean, he
didn't go to court yet. He goes to court in March.
But you know that he's guilty, right? You know that without a shadow of a doubt, right? That he is guilty.
Not necessarily.
He killed kittens. Didn't he kill kittens? And
yeah, but that's different. Cats die all the time.
Oh, come on!
Oh my God! You're a sicko.
Wow!
But didn't he kill somebody and like chop up their body parts and start mailing them and then
allegedly
eat part of it? I mean,
allegedly.
Why is this guy a draw for you? What is wrong with you, woman?
I don't know. He's my age.
Aren't there a lot of people your age?
Yeah, I actually lost my boyfriend over this.
Well, yeah, you should have.
Wait a minute. You had a boyfriend and you were writing a cannibal in prison?
Yeah, but it wasn't romantically. I just sent him a birthday card because his birthday's next week.
Oh, my God. And by the way, do you have romantic feeling for this gay porn star?
Obviously not. I'm not on his
Obviously
team.
Not.
I'm not on his team. I just want to be his friend and touch his hand through the plate glass window.
All right, let me ask you this. Oh, my God.
You're
let me ask
crazy.
You this. Is it the celebrity factor? Is that what the turn-on is for you? Is that this guy has notoriety because he's famous?
It's more of like I feel bad that he didn't get famous the right way because he does have potential and talent. I'm just wondering if he was going to the wrong places. Because all he wanted to do was be a model and in real movies, and he couldn't
Right, but
it.
Then he started killing and eating people easily, seriously.
That was recently.
Okay, but... Oh, I can't. I don't know. You didn't start writing to him until he was in prison, though, right?
I sent it in the beginning of July.
In prison,
but
though, right?
He was already in prison, though.
Yeah. I actually waited for them to extradite him from Berlin.
Does he write back?
He hasn't yet, and I was told it's going to take a while because he's in, like, solitary in protective custody.
Oh, my God. Easy.
But I don't
seriously.
I don't speak French either, so I can't understand half of what these Canadians are saying.
He speaks English, though.
Yeah, I know he does, but the guards at the jail don't.
Seriously. Take a step back.
And
reevaluate.
I do. And it's kind of
someone
like
didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
I take a step back, and it just seems like a hobby for me.
A hobby?
Yeah, because there's a whole group of us. There's a couple fan clubs I'm in. There's
for him?
Fan clubs?
Why?
For the cannibal?
There's a bunch of people I know that blog about him. It's not
Look,
just me.
Look, are you into cannibalism?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. That's
are you into animal torture?
Not at all.
Easily, seriously.
Sex Stop. With dead
Such
people?
A badass, though. Do you understand that?
What? Not a badass.
Oh,
no.
He's effed up, though. There's the difference between badass and effed up.
Yeah, there is something wrong in his head, but
in yours, my dear, in yours. Listen,
wow.
I'm not trying to offend, but seriously,
no,
you're effed up. But I'm glad you were listening,
I know I am.
And I'm glad you called. I really do appreciate you calling.
Well, I listened to K-Rock when it was in New York.
Yeah.
And that was like 10 years ago.
Get help.
Yeah, it's a completely different station too. Thanks a lot, Easley. We appreciate the call.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Okay,
bye.
What about that?
I didn't
know about that.
It's all alleged, and kittens die all the time.
Yeah. I didn't know we were going to go to those depths.
I wasn't expecting that. How do you see this guy on the news and go, I need him to be my friend? How does that happen?
He has
right?
fan clubs, you guys. Yes.
So that happened. That girl said cats die all the time.
Oh. Yeah.
That girl we just talked to was crazy. Yeah.
That was one of the most disturbing things that has ever happened on this radio show. Thank God Dr. Drew is on the phone. We were going to talk to him anyway, but thank God Dr. Drew is here to make us feel better about this. Dr. Drew, of course, co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock and the HLN show, weeknights at 9. Drew, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Bean. How are you, sir?
This woman that we just talked to is not just your typical prison pen pal lady. She's writing to the Canadian Cannibals. She says there's fan clubs for this guy. He's a celebrity. She sent him a birthday card and now is eagerly awaiting his response. What's wrong with these people, Drew?
Well, what's not to love? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, really? I'm not kidding, Drew. You know both of us. We were baffled. Like, we couldn't get our heads around.
Hold on. Slow down. Something grossed you guys out?
No, not grossed us out. Baffled.
Freaked
like,
us I mean, out.
We're like, look, he killed this woman, ate part of her, cut up the rest, and mailed it to various people around the world. How is that appealing to you? And she's like, that's alleged. That hasn't been proven.
Right. They imagine that they have a special insight and a special relationship with this powerful male who is this contained figure that's no longer a threat to anybody because, by the way, he's behind bars. And only I have this special insight into this poor, suffering young lad.
And is it a powerful guy thing? Because most of these guys have done horrible things.
It's a powerful guy who has his legs cut out from under him, so to speak.
Right.
And at the same time, this idealization of this special bigger-than-life figure that only she has the special insight to understand.
Wow, she was
baffling. But this isn't even like a romantic deal like that lady who married one of the Menendez brothers. I mean, she knows that he is gay and that he is a gay porn star and that she doesn't have a chance with him, yet that isn't slowing her down for her affection for him.
You know what it is? It's their son. This is all the amazing intricacies of the variations of the human being. It's that, they're women that fall in love with gay men, right?
Of course.
So this is that plus the other syndrome of women that fall in love with the prison inmates. I mean, it's bizarre. It's not normal. There's obviously some issues, let's just say, with this young lady.
You think?
And it's hard to understand for anybody who's thinking normally, but it shows the power of the human mind to really deny reality fundamentally. She superimposes her fantasy on this guy, and that begs no alternative.
I think that it was the most scary, though, because at times she would say she knew what was going on. Like, she would admit to us. We said, the guy killed kittens, and she said, cats die every day. So now she's rationally thinking about things. Yeah, but she knows what we're asking.
Yeah, it's great. It's how the rational mind serves the subconscious and the emotional brain, which
is
constantly dismissing, rationalizing, justifying, intellectualizing, and yet the fundamental core experience doesn't change, which is, yeah, that's right, cats die every day, so don't worry about that.
Do you deal with people like this, or do you go, okay, I'm sending you right on ahead to someone else?
No, I don't deal with people like this, but I have been involved in treatment of people like this, and it's not quite this wild, but stuff, with the preoccupations with people.
Right.
I think I had a woman, what was the guy that was the Hillside Strangler or somebody like that?
All of them have pen pals and fan clubs.
Fan clubs. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just reality begs no alternative. It's a very rigid thing that you can't really assail, so you don't go at it from any kind of. Listen, the people have a great misconception that you can kind of reason your way out of craziness. You can't. You can't assail it in any kind of intellectual or reasoned way because it doesn't change.
And certainly Bean and I are not the guys to do it if it was possible.
Well, the problem is I'm afraid you guys are going to make fun of everything.
Of course. Well, I'm glad we got a chance to get your expertise on that because that was just shocking to us. But the reason we wanted to have Dr. Drew on today, and we only have a couple of minutes left here, is because there's been a lot of publicity about two new FDA-approved obesity drugs. And, of course, this is the billion-dollar pill that everyone's looking for. One is going to be going by the name of... How do I pronounce this, Drew? Quismia or
Qsymia,
and the other is Belvic. They are both different. And what's the story on these? Should we be excited?
They both sound like Star Trek characters.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, true.
But the fact is, this is a reformulation of old stuff for the most part. Qsymia, remember Fen-Phen?
Yes,
of course.
Qsymia is one part of the Fen, the phentermine, which is actually a psychostimulant. It's very close relative to amphetamine. So I'm not suggesting this is going to be a good thing. It's combined with something called topiramate, which is a seizure medication, which in low dose does suppress appetite. It's an off-label use that doctors have been using for a long time. But the phentermine part is a little disturbing. It's going to be a very strange situation. Doctors are going to have to really justify to the company why they have used the particular drug. So it's not going to be something that's easily going to get in the hands of people that don't need it.
What about the other one?
Belvic is the other half of the phen. It's the first part, the phentermine, phen, and this is fenfluramine. This is a relative of the second drug in fen-phen. Fenfluramine, and it was already declined once by the FDA because of the heart valve problems that we were seeing with the fen-phen 20 years ago. But it's a new drug. It's a reformulation. It does seem to work. I think it even works. One of them worked a little better. I think Belvic was the one. But the fact is they do work, but the question is, what are the risks, and are the risks worth it? Yeah, obesity is a disease. We got to do something about it. I, you know, tip the hat to them getting aggressive about this. But boy, oh boy, these drugs have real trouble with potential abuse. And topiramate's already out there. Why don't people use that?
So they're magic pills. That's what you're saying.
There are no magic pills.
There are no magic pills.
And once you stop taking them.
There's no pill on earth, including Tylenol and aspirin, that can't kill you. They're all drugs are risky.
If you abuse them.
No.
Not even if you abuse.
You can aspirin and give you an ulcer, you can bleed to death. Yeah. I mean, there are things that can happen that, you know, you take a little too much Tylenol and you get liver problems. The point is, you know, we in this society look for solutions in pills, and pills are always dangerous. The question is, it's a risk-benefit analysis, and is the risk worth it?
Lisa was going to ask, are these the kinds of drugs like so many where they work fine while you're taking them, but the minute you stop taking them, all the weight comes back up?
Probably. And, you know, back in the day of fen-phen, I remember the fen-phen
stuff. I took fen-phen.
Ooh-ooh. And that explains a little
bit. You got a ooh-ooh.
I did. Well, it was But
the guys that were really enthusiastic prescribing it back then were saying, well, you know, it's just like a blood pressure medicine. You have to take it all the time, forever.
Oh, I see.
That's very concerning from a neurochemical standpoint. Again, as an addictionologist, I worry what it's going to do to our brains.
Last question for you, Drew, and that is, if you can summarize for me, the vast majority of people who are trying to lose weight don't need to take any kind of a pill like this, right? They just need to concentrate on the basics, which is food in, exercise out, right?
Nothing will be healthier than move more, eat less. That's the healthiest thing to do.
Right, but other than that, what do you do?
That's the point. A lot of people go, I have a disease, I have obesity, I can't do that, or it doesn't work for me, we have to try something else. And that's when doctors start trying other things.
I got you.
Dr. Drew, the co-host of Loveline, Sunday through Thursday night, 10 to midnight here on good old K-Rock. And, of course, catch them on weeknights at HLN at 9. Drew, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
On the 91 westbound at Lincoln, it's a disabled car in the fast lane with slowing from McKinley. And on the South 5 connector to the East 22, reports of an injury accident. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I think I need the rest of the day off. Is that all right?
Sure.
After that one.
Why, you need a shower? You need to take a shower?
Shower and get my head straight.
We are going to talk all things Emmy with a correspondent from the Los Angeles Times coming up right after the top of the hour. The 64th Annual Primetime Emmy Awards are going to be happening on September the 23rd at the Nokia Theater, L.A. Live on ABC. Jimmy Kimmel is going to be hosting, and Jimmy Kimmel this morning showed up with actress Kerry Washington to read the names of the nominees. Jimmy, of course, was in his pajamas. Here's how the broadcast started.
It was at like 5:30 in the morning.
Drama series category R, Boardwalk Empire.
That's not the clip. That's not the one we wanted at all.
Hang on, let me go to this one. Okay.
They rousted me out of bed in the middle of the night last night.
Clearly.
So. This could be just as good at noon. Really.
Jimmy, who are you wearing?
This is from the Husky Baby Collection. Thank you for asking. Would you like to begin, ladies first?
I shall.
Okay.
Maria McNamara is going to be joining us coming up after the top of the hour. She is a television critic for the Los Angeles Times, and we'll be breaking down the nominations for you. But again, the show is September 23rd. Jimmy is going to be a great host of the Emmys, by the way.
I agree.
He's the best.
The best?
He's the best.
He's the best.
Marilyn Manson is a name you haven't heard in a while.
Woo!
A lot of photographers there. He wants to have a baby right away. He tells the Observer he's starting to think about the pitter-patter of little feet and wants to pass his, quote, demented genius onto, quote, some small thing that can set fire and breathe profanity.
I don't know that he should be allowed to breed.
He's got high hopes.
Is he still with Rachel Evans Woods or Rachel Evan Woods?
He's dating a photographer named Lindsay Usick.
Oh, okay. So they split up.
According to this story.
Yeah.
But he wants kids.
Yeah.
And by the way, we've met Marilyn Manson many different times. Funny.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy.
Pretty normal.
Yeah.
Easy going. Seems like he'd be a good dad.
However.
He eats people on stage.
There's that. But people die all the time,
and
Kevin.
Kills kitties.
Oftentimes, no. Kevin's joking about that.
Allegedly. Yeah. That's not even a legend. Sorry.
Not even true.
No.
Oftentimes, when a celebrity gets into trouble, there's a lot of news made. Everybody knows about the charges. Very rarely is there much coverage when those charges are dropped. And that is the case, I am happy to say, I think, with Los Angeles King star Drew Doughty. Insufficient evidence in his date rape charge. Prosecutors have declined to file against him. So that is going away. We talked about it just briefly, that a woman accused him of raping her after they had had consensual sex previously, by the way, which may have made the waters a little bit murky. She told of drinking with him at a Hermosa Beach bar, then going to his home where she claimed he assaulted her. All along, he has said that is not the case at all. And I guess we'll never know, but it wouldn't be the first time that somebody has claimed a charge like this against a celebrity. But Drew Doughty, there will be no date rape charges filed. That information released late yesterday.
Chris Hemsworth, is he Thor?
Yes.
Chris Hemsworth likes to think that he's more than just a pretty face and body.
Nope.
He tells Us Weekly magazine that while he realizes his looks help, quote, you hope it's not the only thing that helped.
He's not a bad actor either.
Right.
I've seen him a couple of different things. He's pretty good.
I concur. It really sucks.
But he's not complaining about being too hot, is he? Is that what's going on?
No. Too pretty.
He just hopes that there's a little more to it than his looks. And I'd like to say the same thing for myself.
Would you now?
No, not at all.
Remember Pee-wee Herman back in 1991? I know it seems like a long time ago, but Pee-wee Herman was arrested for masturbating an adult movie theater. And I thought, that's weird that that happened. Like, why would the police be in there looking for that? Let the man have his piece of himself, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's happened again, ladies and gentlemen, and I couldn't be more delighted that it's Fred Willard, because I know that he will turn this into something hilarious. Fred Willard, of course, from Anchorman, from Best in Show, from For Your Consideration.
I don't know why you're so delighted. It seems like a bummer to me, because we like you.
I love Fred. I think Fred's awesome.
But then why are you delighted by this?
Because he's hilarious, and this is going to be something that he's going to be able to make fun of for years. Look, nobody thinks poorly of Fred Willard because of this. I think jackass police going through an adult movie theater at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night looking for somebody to make trouble for. That's what I think. I don't feel badly about Fred, you know, for Fred Willard. I don't. This doesn't reflect poorly on him, as far as I'm concerned. It's not like he was doing it in front of a school. I mean, he was in an adult movie theater. Who cares, right? I just think Fred's going to make something hilarious out of it. I can't wait to see his first interview. I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to go on Jimmy's show or something, but something great is going to come out of this. But the guy's 78 years old. What 78-year-old is still so horny that he pulls into a movie theater to masturbate? It's crazy to me.
I love everything
about this story.
You just love the fact that he's 78 and he still wants to do it.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Celebrities that were born today, guitarist Brian May of Queen, 65, comedian Lisa Lampanelli has a birthday, Anthony Edwards' birthday, Jason McGurr of Death Cab for Cutie, Jared Padalecki, and UFC light heavyweight champ John Bones Jones, who we had in last week, is 25 years old. And that is your showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9:39. If you want to join me on Saturday night, I'm going to the LA Galaxy taking on Chivas USA at Home Depot Center.
Ooh.
You're taking on Chivas USA with the Galaxy?
I am playing, yes.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Being put in goal. As well as passes to the Kevin and Bean K-Rock pre-party. You get those as well.
That's fine.
I could have said that better, but it's going to be a fun time. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. You call and we will get you in on Saturday night.
Okay.
A few minutes ago, we were talking about this morning's Emmy nominations with the Los Angeles Times' Mary McNamara. We mentioned a couple of the snubs, The Walking Dead, which, by the way, in retrospect, now that I've had some time to think about
it. Me too. I'm angered.
I'm a little bit upset that The Walking Dead wasn't nominated for Best Drama, right?
Me too. Even though the nominees are great, The Walking Dead has to be in there.
I think so, too. I'm also going to say that I agree with those who say, what about John Noble on Fringe? I agree with those. We talked about Hugh Laurie on House. How about a little love for Sons of Anarchy, one of the best shows on TV? And how about a little love for Community, their phenomenal cast on Community in the comedy category?
But then who are you going to eliminate?
Well, they just need 20 nominations in every category, I guess.
How about less Seth Green? How about that? That guy
How
gets
about
nominated
less
every year.
Freaking Seth Green, man? This Mr. Emmy Seth Green. Nominated again for Robot Chicken. Seth, we haven't talked to you since Friday, buddy. How you been?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How was the rest of your Comic-Con?
It was a great con this year. We had a really awesome time.
We had an email from somebody that said they saw you and they yelled, Seth Green! And then you got surrounded by people and they thought it was funny.
Well, That person clearly doesn't want me to have a good time at Comic-Con.
They really like you? They just thought it was
they
funny.
They really love you. She's I really loved him, but I just thought it would be funny.
Yeah, they saw you trying to keep low pro walking across a crosswalk with your head down and a hat on, and they thought it would be hilarious to scream out that it was you. And then they said immediately, like, 30 people surrounded you for pictures and autographs, and she just kept on driving. She thought it was so funny. Let's talk about this. You were bragging just on Friday about how you're an Emmy winner for Robot Chicken. But let's talk about how it felt this morning. Was it a surprise to get another nomination, or did you expect it?
It's always a surprise when you get a nomination. Like, for as much as you think you earn something over a distance, every one of these categories is hard fought. Everybody works all year long to try and produce the best stuff they can, and you know, kind of hope for a little bit of recognition. The coolest thing about it is that we know everybody that we're nominated against, and it's all shows that we like. So it makes us feel less competitive about it.
Sure.
And just more excited that we're all getting to make stuff that we love and getting recognized for it. It's kind of an incredible,
thing. So there's nobody in the category that when they win, you'll go, oh, come on!
Yeah, there's no Seacrest or something like that for you to root against.
There's no.
All right, good.
This isn't that. It's Dan Povemeyer and Swampy, the guys that do Phineas and Ferb. Dan was the
I love
director.
That show.
Me too. So Dan was the director on Family Guy, and I actually play the son of Monty Monogram on that show.
Oh, no kidding.
And then Adventure Time and Regular Show. Those are both shows that are on Cartoon Network. We're friends with all those people.
Oh, that's awesome.
Then Mad is Kevin Shinnick, who used to write for us and is actually in our DC special. So it really just feels like we're all friends, and then it makes us feel very good, like we're on the right track, that we're all in a category together, you know?
I'm talking to Seth Green on the phone. Seth, here's the way we see it, if you don't mind my interpreting things through our eyes.
Okay.
You were on our show on Friday, right?
Yes.
Emmy nomination this morning.
Yes.
Less than a week later, that's true. That's a good point.
So if there's a win, there's a thanks involved.
Fair enough.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's also awesome that this category, the outstanding short format animated program, I guess is what they call it, is not a high profile category, and a lot of people may not even kind of be aware of some of these shows. They just don't know they're there. So, I mean, anything that kind of raises the profile of the sort of thing that you and your friends do is a great thing.
It's really, I mean, the Emmys are like prom in a way. You know, we all get dressed up in suits, we all get limos and stuff, everyone drinks a little bit and dances, everyone's kind of nervous for the superlatives at the end of the night, you know.
Sure.
If you think of it in those terms, then it becomes a little less gut-wrenching and a little bit more of a celebration of the fact that we all get to do this for a living.
I think the worst, torturous part of that show would be when all of the cameras are on all of the nominees and then they announce the winner. And let's be honest, we all look at the four losers to see if there's any registering in the face. Are they disappointed? Or they throw something to the ground and run off?
One of my favorite things I ever saw, I think it was like an MTV Awards or Golden Globes or something. Jim Carrey was nominated for something, and they start showing all the faces of the people that are nominated. And when they cut to Jim, he just has both of his fingers crossed and his eyes shut as tightly as he can. And he's just saying, I hope, I hope, I hope.
Who was the actress, Lisa? You might remember a few years ago who created a firestorm when she got up and stormed out of the where the Emmys were being held, and she was doing it as a joke, wasn't it?
Sean Young.
Is that who it was? Was it? I was thinking it was Faith Hill who did it. I was thinking for some reason it was Faith Hill who did it, but it was just hilarious because they were so over the top pretending that they were furious that they didn't win, and they totally meant it as a joke, but there were people who read it seriously.
Seth, I'd like to see you take a few swings at people.
Yeah,
that'd be memorable. I think if you don't
get me in a cage match with somebody,
just stay right there at the Emmys. Even if you do win on the way up, just boom, somebody right in the face, just for no reason.
I kept saying to Brecken that we should stage public fights when we're on press lines.
That's a great idea. Well, listen, Seth, we know you got to go. We appreciate you jumping on. And you told us just on Friday when we saw you down at Comic-Con, you said, look, I used to play like little games with my little imaginary friends and my little, you know, army figurines as a kid. And the fact that I get to grow up and do it as an adult is payment enough, and everything else is just gravy. So once again, congratulations, man. I know it's a happy day for you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man.
You bet, man. Always good to talk to you.
Talk to you
soon. Have a good day.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Don't masturbate in the theater. That's good advice for all the stars. Yeah, for all the stars.
That's true.